randomly chose this message and didn't listen to previously, you would need to really go back to the last two to get a full understanding. And so I'll just briefly catch you up. So at the end of 10, 1 Samuel 10, David goes and he fights. He helps his army, helps Joab and them. They have publicly humiliated some guys, some Hebrews. They had shaved half their beards off and left them half naked. And so they publicly humiliate him. Well, David goes with the army. And when David goes with them, they are very successful. Well, that chapter ends and wintertime sets in. And as we looked at last week, David, this was God telling David, you need to be with your army needs you, and they need your leadership. Well, when chapter 11 starts, it says, at the turn of the year, the season when kings go out to battle, David sent Joab with his officers and Israel with him, and they devastated Ammon and besieged Rabbah. But David remained in Jerusalem. Now, you say, well, they won. They did, but it's going to come at a major cost. And so last week we looked at this, that David was wrong place, wrong time, wanting someone else to do his job. David was the king. The kings go out to battle. When the kings go out to battle, it's a certain time of year. What do kings do? They engage in warfare. So we looked at that no one can be me. God's put me where he's put me, not only to under-shepherd Danville Baptist Church, but to be the leader of my home. I can't turn that over to my wife or to my children. God's put me there. And so my wife can't turn her responsibilities over to the children. That's her job. So we have to be and honor the responsibilities that God has given us. And when we try to put them off on other people, bad things happen. So this is where we're at. David did that. So here we go into the good, juicy stuff. Greg would love this. This is getting like General Hospital now. And then we're going to see. I told you it'd be at least three sermons on this, and we'll just see how far we get. So late one afternoon, David rose from his couch and strolled on the roof of the royal palace. And from the roof, he saw a woman bathing. Now, nothing really abnormal about this first part of this sentence other than the fact he should not have been there. So when you couple that, and we'll try to put it in context for today, it would be like a man, you're thinking, well, a man walked into a strip bar thinking, well, he hasn't done anything yet. Yes, he's where he shouldn't be. Or a man is getting online at 1:30 a.m. There's not a lot of good things that happen even online at 1:30 a.m. Or a man does this. So he's in the wrong place, and he's where he shouldn't be. Now, up until this point, though, he is guilty of one thing, but he's not guilty of another yet. Now, I fully believe that God put the end of verse 2 for a reason. The woman was very beautiful. Now, we see this throughout the Bible. I think there's a reason that God puts it in. It said Joseph was well-built and handsome. We don't know exactly how well-built he was or how handsome he was, but there's a reason God put that in there. He told Moses to put that in there. Same thing with Samson. Samson was a well-built man. Potiphar's wife was a good-looking woman, more, Then it talked about Rachel and Leah and how beautiful Rachel was and how weak Leah's eyes are. So it gives us physical descriptions. Abigail, as we see, saw with David, or we'll see with David. So late one afternoon, David rose from his couch and strolled the roof palace, and from the roof he saw a woman bathing. The woman was very beautiful. So now you're starting to see we're going to have some problems. And the king sent someone to make inquiries about the woman. So now we're getting off kilter. And this is where, and Dad has preached this for years, sin comes into us and there's temptation. Well, as Martin Luther said, we cannot stop a bird from dropping twigs on our head, but we can keep him from building a nest. In other words, every time he drops a twig, we get rid of it and we fight it with the Word of God. So David, here he is, he's tempted. He sees a woman bathing, she's naked, and he is tempted by that. Now, what should he have done? You know what he should have done. He should have went back inside. We don't have to go into the difference in men and women, men being visual creatures and him being stimulated by her beauty. But he goes a step further than that. He inquires about her. So the sin is just bubbling up at this point. It's a temptation. Now, until we give into that temptation, it's not full-blown sin. You say, well, him inquiring about her is that sin? I would say it's very borderline, but it's even if it's not, it's getting there. So he inquires about her. Well, what was he inquiring? He was wanting to know who she was, obviously, wanting to know her status. So it says, she is Bathsheba, daughter of Eliam, and wife of Uriah the Hittite. So this is, and I used to teach this to the youth when I worked with them, this is David. This is the Holy Spirit warning David. Now, the first warning, you got to again go back to chapter 10 and say, okay, David should have some recollection that, hey, they need me. And now that they're going off to battle again in chapter 11, that's where I should be. This was the Holy Spirit's way of telling him, this is where you need to be. Now, this goes a little bit different. This is the Holy Spirit giving him not a yield sign, but a full-blown stop sign. I forgot where we were the other day. We go so much, but we were going somewhere, and it turned red quicker than I thought. It was from here to Catfish easily. And we're still about that far away, and Lori looks at me and goes, are you going to keep going through this one? I was like, I've already made my mind up now. It was safe. There was nobody coming the other way, but I was like, hey, you know, I've already, it's one of those things. Brakes are kind of rubbing. I'm like, I don't really want to hit the brakes because I might just, you know, so I'm just going to keep going. Well, there's a reason, you know. Now, if cars had been ready to turn out, I would have just slammed the brakes on if I had to. But there's a reason we have yellow lights and red lights on our traffic in this country. And that's to yield. The yellow is to yield for us to slow down, which is what David was getting in chapter 10. Hey, giving you a signal here, but here he gets a full-blown red light. But as we're going to see, David is going to run through it. Now, fortunately, I'm not as bad a driver as I used to be. I've only actually got one ticket ever for running a red light, and it was at 31 in the Beltline. It was the same thing. If you've ever paid attention, that's a long intersection, and it turned red, and I was like, oh, I've got this. Or I turned yellow, and I thought I had it, and I didn't. Sure enough, officer, whatever you call them, and he was very nice, and he's like, you know what you did? I was like, oh yeah, I know what I did. I was like, I didn't mean to do it. He's like, well, you meant to or not, you did. So he let me out. But those lights are there for a reason. Well, God gives us boundaries for a reason, and that's why, and we can go a million different ways with this, but the reason going to see this is sex. It's sex inside of boundaries. It's sex inside of a marriage. It's sex with a man and a woman. And anything outside of that, God says, I put a boundary on it. And if you get outside of that, whether it be lust or whatever, then you're going to have problems. Well, for those of you that are baseball fans, you can put it in these terms. David ran through the third base stop sign. So Ron Washington or whoever, is he coach first or third, Ron? He's coaching third, and they've got the full-blown stop up, and you just keep running, and you run in that tag at home. Everybody in the dugout's going to be like, what were you thinking? So that's what they're looking, that's what David's getting here. When they say, not the daughter of Eliam, but they say, oh, that's the wife of Uriah the Hittite. So flags should go up in David's mind, but they don't. David sent messengers to fetch her. She came to him and lay with him, and came to him, and he lay with her. She had just purified herself after her period, and she went back home. Now, in the last few years, there's been a controversy arise, and I know Jason's read some of this. I don't know how much any of you have, that Bathsheba was raped here. Now, I don't go that far at all. And there's a few things we do need to look at, though. First of all, in the sense of 2022, people would say, well, David was in a position of power. That's what people say. David was in a position of power, and his advance on her, she had no choice. And I say to that, we always have choices. And they say, well, David could have killed her. He probably had that authority as a king. I don't think he would have, but he could have. But she still could have resisted to her death. She still had a choice. I don't believe he raped her. And the reason is, you've got to study the whole work of Bathsheba. Now, I won't, you know, Dad's got his own sermon on this. I'll let him preach it. You know, he says that Bathsheba knew what she was doing. And whether she did or didn't, I don't know. But, because I don't want to get into his words. But if you study the whole of Bathsheba, she is a pretty conniving woman. You got to go all the way to David's death, where she comes in with Solomon and she's working the room with Joab. She's like, hey, you better go talk to your dad. You better make sure you're the king. And there's some other issues there. So Bathsheba's pretty smart. Now, I'm not saying she went on top of the roof on purpose, naked. But there are some other factors that we have to take into play. Number one, the king was at his palace. Everybody knew that. All right? The king's not going to be at his palace and people next door not know it, because he's got an entourage, he's got his hair, he's got everything that if the king were out to battle, everybody would know it. If the king were in Jerusalem in his palace, everybody would know it. So she knew he was in his palace. That, I mean, she would have to be perfectly delusional or lying to herself if she didn't know it. Did she know he would be out there at the time? That we don't know. So we can't blame her for this. Or, I mean, we can, but, you know, it would be speculation. David is to blame for, obviously, 95% of this. She could have said no, but she chose not to. Now, this is a perfect example of what we, you know, started with last week. Wrong place, wrong time, wrong situation. And then it goes even further than this, that, to be honest, it's hard for any of us, if we're not walking in the Spirit, to resist the fleshly desires. Now, I know what everybody's thinking. I shouldn't even say that. I know what a lot of people think. And I know, because I've had these discussions with people, I would never do that. I try to stay away from the word never. I had that discussion one time with a man. I was like, it's just hard to say never. You don't say never, ever, and all certain words, always, and things like that. So you're telling me you would cheat on your wife? I said, I never said that. I'm saying, you're saying never, ever, ever, under any circumstance. I was like, you don't know. You say, by the grace of God, I would never do this. And that's what all of us would desire. But David has put himself in a situation, and it doesn't have to be sexual. It could be somebody like me who has an affinity for tennis shoes, and if I don't need any and I don't have any money, which is both of those right now, I probably don't need to go into Hibbett's or Dick's or Academy or looking online at tennis shoes, because all it's going to make me do is want another pair of tennis shoes. And if I'm not perfectly prayed up, I'm totally capable of hitting click on that. I'm like, it's only $80. It's not that big a deal. And that's what people say about whatever. Whether it's losing their temper, whether it's sexual sin. But here we have David. You got to go back again. Remember, David was who God chose. He chose him for this spot, for this position. The Bible says he's a man after God's own heart. He rejected Saul because Saul was not, you know, following the Lord's lead. So he chooses David, a young man, when he chose him. And now David is put in this position. And you're going to see it over the next rest of this year, that the rest of his life was changed over this one bad decision. Now that doesn't, this is what you've got to get. I know everybody in here probably understands this. This doesn't mean David's not a believer. Doesn't mean he's going to hell because he committed this egregious sin. But it also doesn't mean there's not earthly consequences. So that's what's going to happen with David. It says in verse 5, the woman conceived, and she sent word to David, I am pregnant. Thereupon David sent a message to Joab, send Uriah the Hittite to me. And Joab sent Uriah to David. Now, I would venture to say all of you have read this before. You may not know. We're going to get into that next week. How David takes one sin and compounds it with another sin instead of just admitting what he's done, just confessing. Now, it was weird how this come up. In my devotional day, I read Psalm 51 in Paul Davis' Triple Devotional, and he talked about how many times we read that devotional, and we read that passage in Psalm 51, and we've read it so much that we really just flippantly read over it, and we're just like, okay. But when you read it and you understand that it was at this time or after a little bit later, after David's conviction, that David wrote that his sin become real to him. Now, at this point, it's not. But here's the point that I want us to grab tonight, that none of us are above this. Not anybody in this room. Nobody is above doing something stupid. I don't know about all of you where you're at. And I don't want to say it's all men, because I know it's not, but it's a lot of my friends I know are wired like me. It's something about men, or a lot of us, that we want what we want, and if our schedule's messed up, it's like, God, it's the worst thing in the world. And we don't like explaining things twice. And I've really prayed about that a lot in my own life, about, especially with my children. My children are 14, and they don't think on the same wavelength I do. I'm not saying they're not smarter than me. They probably already are, but I'm just saying they don't think on the same way that I do. I see things differently than they do. I come up with a different generation. We just don't sometimes communicate. And so if I say something to them and they don't get it right away, I just get mad. And so it happened that I made a very offhand comment to one of them yesterday, and immediately the Lord convicted me, with the help of the Lord convicting me. And I mean, I did. I got convicted immediately, and then it comes up again. And I apologized last night. I haven't even told the Lord yet. I did apologize to the offended party, and more than once. But this morning I was reading my devotional, was like, we think we're much more righteous than we really are. And it's so easy for us to see sin in other people's life, and it's so easy for us to see David and go, what an idiot. And it's so easy for us, and then it said, it didn't say David, but he did say this line, it's so easy for us to get mad at our children when they don't understand us the first time. It's honestly amazing how God worked. And of course, his dad has said so much, I felt about this high. Because here's where I get. I get to thinking, I want to blame my kids. Well, they don't pay attention. They don't listen. I wasn't like that as a kid. I was much more respectful. I kept my room cleaner. I did this better. I did all this better. And then in the devotional, it even said it, the next line was, because you think you were better as a kid, and you really weren't. And then he goes on to say it, and I was like, this lines up perfectly. He's like, all of us want to assign our righteousness, and we look at other people, and I've said this the last couple of Sundays, and we think we're better than people, And we think because we're better at this. And he's like, at the end of the day, it's God's grace in everything. So as we read this, as we finish this up tonight, this is what I want us to get. Is this is what God laid on my heart, and I hope it's words. I hope I read him correctly. Is that this could be any of us making a terrible life-changing decision, but for the grace of God. And then I read it like this, that I've made those terrible life-changing decisions, but by the grace of God, he just hasn't chose to, you know, call mine out like he did David's. Now, why David? We don't know why David specifically, but we know why it's in here, because all Scripture is profitable for us so that we can read it, so when and understand and grasp it. So if we go back, we say, okay, well, when David should have been out to war and fighting, because that's what kings did, then I need to be doing what I'm supposed to be doing. And for me, and I don't know for you, for me it means I have to unplug from technology, because technology makes me mad, because I get mad at liberals and I get mad over dumb stuff and people just upset me, so I just stay off of it. And I've kind of been off of it this week, and it's been a pretty good week. And for you, it may be something else. There are places you know where you can go or where you can't go. There are things you know you can't do that you may have to protect. You need to be in the right place, right time, because God has given you an assignment. I don't know what it is. It's the mother, grandmother, father, grandfather, uncle, teacher, nurse, pastor, whatever it may be, that I can't do your job and you can't do mine, because God has specifically designed you for that job. And if you're not careful, that responsibility by not walking in the Spirit. And we're going to see that with David. He doesn't lose his kingship, but he's going to lose a lot. He's going to lose a lot of respect in his own household. And he never really reigns his own children in the rest of his life. So we're going to see a definite consequence to his sin. And so my prayer for all of us is that we avoid this by fully walking in the Spirit. So let me pray, because I'm out of time. I don't want to make Coach late. I'll be glad to stick around and talk with y'all as long as y'all want to talk. Father, we love you. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for your word. And we do know the grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of our Lord stands forever. I don't think I've done any justice tonight to your word. It, to be honest, sounded like a bungled mess coming out. I do know what you talked to me about as I studied and prepared it, and my prayer is that if that was somewhat articulated, Father. David is human, was human. David sinned, we sinned. David needed grace, and we need grace. And David's example is there for all the world to see. You spare us of that, and I thank you for that in my own life. But help us to learn from this. Help us to walk in the Spirit. You give us boundaries for a reason.